Let's go.
What's up, everyone? Welcome back to Benchtown TV. Today is both a special and a sad day for us here at Benchtown. Special because we get to finally release our amazing interview with 1899 and the Wheel of Time's Alexander Vuillaume, but sad because we just found out about the cancellation of 1899 by Netflix. This interview was recorded before the cancellation news, but there are some very, very, very interesting topics discussed in regards to what would happen if there was a cancellation. Even with the cancellation, Alexander is hilarious, he's a legend, and we talked about a lot of awesome topics that we know you don't want to miss. If you're a fan of Benchtown and or enjoy the interview, please subscribe and leave a review on any of your favorite podcast apps. It would mean a lot to us and allows us to keep doing what we love. So now that that is out of the way, let's get to this awesome interview with Alexander Vuillaume.
There he is. How you doing?
How's it going?
It's good. I have a bit of a cold. If I sound like Batman, it's not on purpose.
That's good. You're auditioning for a future Batman role.
Well, hey guys.
What I found out today, looking into you a little bit more, is that you have a birthday coming up. Do you not? You do.
Happy birthday.
So we are recording this on the 14th of December. Your big day is the 20th. So happy early birthday from everyone here at Benchtown.
There it is.
How are you feeling? What do you turn? And if you would like to tell us.
I'm turning fucking 50.
Yeah, I didn't want to be the one to say it.
We said right before we got on, damn good looking
50. That's even worse the way you say it. I didn't want to say it. That sounds, now it's fucking old, yeah.
No.
Jesus. Yeah, but I don't have the glasses, though. I don't have all that.
Hey, I'm 26, and I just got my first pair.
Now you're looking old, dude.
Yeah, I know. It stinks. I like sit down to watch TV, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, where are my glasses? I need my glasses. It's not fun.
I still have friends who are constantly bugging me about it. They're saying, "But it's going to come. It's going to come." When I turned 40, they said, it's going to come. Suddenly, you can't see anything. It's still not there, but I don't know.
I think for me, it must be like, I think cell phone usage a lot.
Wow.
Could be. I'm convinced,
personally, yeah, like video games, cell phones, always on my computer. Like, I feel like I look at a screen a lot. That's my personal theory. I know nothing about the eye.
Maybe it's just masturbating. I don't know.
Yeah, it could be. They say you go blind if you do that. So, Kyle.
Kind of.
Yeah. Maybe I'll ask him for my next checkup.
Maybe you're not doing that good a job. So maybe it's just any kind of going blind.
It's only partial blindness.
I'm bad at masturbating. You're not so great at singing. It's all good.
Yeah. Well, this guy. I told him before the interview. I said we're good, man. We didn't say anything about it in any of our podcasts for this round, and now Kyle needs to bring it up.
Well, he started it.
Oh wow,
that's so good. Let's get a little serious here now. Okay. So we've talked to you before about Wheel of Time. You were the wonderful Tom Maryland, but now we have you as anchor. From 1899. We absolutely loved the TV show. We covered it. We are huge fans of Bo and Jante? I'm going to mispronounce it. We talked about it before this, too.
I'm not going to tell it because I heard that you were discussing how it was pronounced. I was just laughing. So you're going to keep on going that way. Whatever you say.
Well, it was funny because watching the making of 1899, the documentary that you guys had filmed behind the scenes while you were making the show, all of you guys, the cast members, felt like they said it different ways too. So I was like, oh, we'll watch this and we'll know, we'll find out. And then they were all over the place. So I was like, I don't know what's the correct pronunciation.
I don't think she cares. She's one of those kind of people who just call me whatever you want. Yeah.
So the biggest thing I want to talk about, and just, I guess it'll just springboard us into more. It was something that we brought up a ton throughout the podcast covering the show. It was mentioned a lot throughout the backstage documentary of just like not the language barrier technically, but just all of the different languages and cultures that were involved both on the screen that we as viewers watched and then what you guys as the cast and crew experienced. So I'm just curious of what your thoughts are on that. Mm-hmm. What was it like on set? You're speaking with people that may not, I mean, maybe everyone knows English, but there's people from different backgrounds.
It was a big kind of deal because that was the whole setup of course, because in 1899, as a Dane, you wouldn't be able to speak English in any way or form. But you had to get the information through. My youngest daughter was quite good at getting the English from the start. The old ones didn't get any. And Krista and everybody else got it. But it kind of evolves. But now that you've seen it all, it doesn't have to make sense in that way because it is that simulation kind of thing. But we still had to figure it out. And sometimes it was fucking hard because it was did I get this, or did I get the intention, or am I clever enough? So it was a constant thing. But it was also one of those things that was fun to figure out, because it was, we need to get all the information all the time and everything that we do, that it was nice to be somewhere where it's just, he doesn't know what you're saying.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But he kind of gets the idea of it from your voice, the tone of your voice. You have to bring another A game in that way. You have to be mm-hmm. more vibrant or energetic or whatever.
It was so interesting to watch the documentary where Bo was saying, specifically with like the Cantonese, he doesn't know what they're saying, and he has to just trust that they have the language expert with them, and the person translating through is saying, this is how we're saying it. Trust that we're saying it. And he had to just feel it. And he said, like, he was rewatching, and he says, I can't speak Cantonese, but I was kind of figuring it out throughout the whole series. It was just super interesting. And even going back, and we talked about on the podcast, coming through the screen, the Ramiro scene with you, the two of you,
where
that's a perfect example. You two are both spilling your heart out, but you don't understand each other at all.
And I love the double layer of that, because it's actually, if you were a religious person and you went into a church to tell your sins or whatever you fucking do in those booths, I don't know. This is actually the perfect way, because it's somebody who's just sitting there listening without understanding. That should be the way. That is actually the best form of it. But So Bo, he didn't understand any languages
mm-hmm.
except for English. So he didn't understand the Danish either. And there's another layer of it, because of course there's a person between Bo and us who just sits, and so it would be a Danish person in when it's the Danes, that would just know what we're saying, because of course, not all the time everything comes out perfectly. And it could be different words, but are we in the essence of it?
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
we have to trust that person, and that person has to be trusted by Bo and the other way. So it's just so complex.
Yeah, geez.
That sometimes you just kind of go, let me just watch. I remember doing The Head, which is a Spanish show, and it was just like, let me just watch it. And I can list if it's good enough. You can see it, because otherwise it's just kind of 10 people arguing, not arguing, but having a discussion whether you did it the right way. And that's easy when you're just two in the frame. But if you're like 18, it's also the strength. It is definitely, just to put you at ease, it is not one of those shows who's just trying to be weird.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, we definitely know that.
And I know that. So just,
I trust the two of them with my life at this point.
and me too. And my apartment.
That's good. I mean, I watch some behind the scenes, and they don't show you everything. And they have, they have the actors, they sit in the chairs and they talk about individual scenes. But I don't think I've ever seen which it seemed like such a monumentous undertaking. There were so many people playing so many roles. And like you said, and even just like the intermediaries for translating, and then you're using this new technology that almost no one around had ever used before at that point. Yeah. And there's so many people, and then COVID throws a wrinkle and everything else. And it just was amazing mm-hmm. to watch, honestly, all that come together.
When I watched it, when it got released, I was kind of sad, because I was constantly going home. So most of the cast, the main cast, was staying there. They were in apartments, partying, being in the band, having fun and all that. I was going home, family and kids and shit. But and when I thought, I would still do that. But it was kind of one of those where I saw it. I missed out a lot. It was you can't put on an hour of that without it being true. This is actually people having fun. Bo and Yandre are not afraid to give that out there. They know they got the story. They know Yandre knows where this is going. So even though we as actors, just as you, are trying to figure it out, because we don't fucking know.
Right.
I don't think Emily knows, but I don't think anybody knows exactly what is going on. And everybody's shooting, everybody's trying. So they're enjoying life, and they're just putting it out there to to make the universe that much bigger. And I think that that behind the scenes was just a testimony of that. There's no setup in that way. It was just full of love and happiness.
That's cool. I guess it's now looking back that you say that you kind of had a pop back and forth from set to home. Watching the documentary, I was looking at the clock and it was like 40 minutes in of 50 minutes and you hadn't popped up yet. And I was like,
in there in one time or something like that.
Towards the end. Yep.
Pissed about it, but it is what it is.
Did you get into that big cast photo that you guys gifted to Bo?
We did that. I think it was only 3 or 4 people who didn't get into it. And then we Jonas, the French guy, he manipulated people in there. So
nice.
Everybody was in there.
Well, we know you're very skilled at doing this. So you get in there.
Throwing that in there.
But that's actually something that Bo is very skilled at. You got the similar kind of humor. You would love him, guys. He's dark, man. Yeah, to use that word, dark.
Yeah, right. It's funny that you say that he's dark, and you know, obviously the pun there. But it's your own quote unquote daughter in the documentary. Clara says that specifically, that he's dark. You know, he has that darkness to him where you can be raw. You know, he wants to get that out of you. He wants to show everything. You know, that was really cool to see as well, and having her say that. And it's great to have you come from you, which is hilarious because it's your daughter on screen.
It's nice too that you can get that level of connection and levity from him. I mean, because he talks in the documentary too of like he's his parallel almost, if you want to say, is like he's the captain. He says, you know, I've never captained a boat before, but that's kind of what it's like. It was 6+ months of just grueling work. And you know, sometimes it beats you down, sometimes you don't sleep well. So it's nice that that everyone still has fun.
Yeah, and you still have to remember, normally when you go on a show, if it's 6 or 8 episodes, there'll be 3 different directors.
Right.
He did them all.
Wow.
And I can't imagine someone else doing it because of Yande and Bo. This is like a marathon, like beyond. And the same with the DOP, Nick. I mean, some of these guys and girls are on set every fucking hour. We go in and out. We are trying to figure out what we're doing.
Yeah.
They're there for 6 or 8 months. I think after the premiere, we went to Berlin to do that. He said, I'm going to take a week off.
Just a week. How about a couple months?
Yeah, exactly. He says he was going to fall into a hole, but mind is more than a week.
I just wanted to. I mean, come on, a week.
I love it. Yeah. Wow. Well, I mean, as fans, as long as, you know, if he turns to season 2.
Yeah, start working on it.
He could take a week, and then let's get going on season 2.
Let's get going.
Yeah. Hey, I'm on the same page as you. I'm looking forward to seeing what the fuck they're gonna do.
That's awesome.
The best part about you saying you're looking forward to it, and they did shed a little bit of light in the documentary where they're saying, and you just said too, you guys don't know what's going on. Now, my question is, do you know throughout the season what's going on with your character, or is it, you know, here, just do this scene for us? I know filmmakers are very different. Some don't want you to know anything. Some give you the whole thing in front of you just so you can play it a certain way. I know that there is a scene where one of the actors in the documentary was saying, how do you want me to do this, or what's going to happen? And Bo said, I don't know yet. I'll let you know. I have no idea, which is crazy. But how does that work for you?
But I think that's the right way. That's what I love about directors, when they kind of go, I don't know. You have to inspire me, and I
inspire
you. We don't know what. Of course, he knows what he wants in the end, in the editing. But it has to go through your body and that way of talking. I struggled a lot with anger because he was like, I didn't sign up for a guy who was just constantly being passive and left.
Right.
When everybody ran around, but Bo has a way of persuading you to say, just wait for it, man. Wait for it.
It's coming.
I'm curious
I get that when you can kind of look back at it and saying, anger has some very good scenes. He has some, it's this family, this fucked up wife and these kids who and they're talking about leaving them when they get to America, and the whole religion, which I also love because I hate everything about it in a very passionate way, in a way that leave it at home, but don't take it to the new places. This is what they're doing. They're right. going to start a church. They're taking all their fucking demons. And of course, saying that he doesn't believe, but he has to, because of, it was so complex and with so few scenes that what Bo says to everybody is just trust the fucking the journey and wait right. for it. And I actually said, I said to him, yeah, but after season three or whatever, I will be knocking on your door.
Yeah, I better be doing something badass in season two or three. If this, no, if it gets,
but it's also sometimes you meet people who like, yeah, but this is not what I usually do, and he just went, no, isn't that great? And I was like, oh, fuck you. Because it is, it is kind of one of those. And the good thing about Bo and Yonche is that they did all their casting via Zoom like this.
Yeah,
this is the hardest fucking thing, because this, just look at our faces all around and whatever we're doing. And it still lacks something. It lacks that kind of sparkle from the others, because you can look away and then you're not there. Yeah, you can't do that with people in real life.
Yeah.
But everybody was cast in that way. And I think he got a really brilliant cast, because he didn't go for names or Instagram hits or anything. Just fucking got through that. And when you watch Dog as well, when you start out with that show, you don't know what you're in for.
Not at all.
You don't know right. who you're in love with. Then you start out thinking, I kind of like these characters. But at the end, it's totally different. I'm so much more in love with these. But wait a minute, this is the same character, because this is
right.
It's kind of the same. What the fuck?
Yeah.
And that is what this is definitely the reason why I said yes. This is not a given. I don't know what I'm in for, and nobody fucking knows.
Yeah.
It's
That's
not
to be exciting.
It's not to keep us in the secret. It's not about that. It's because it's not written yet.
Okay. So okay. Fighting. Right.
So it's not about one of those directors. No, it is actually about, we don't know yet. Of course we know the big arc, but we don't, and we're not gonna tell you that. Fuck you. but we haven't written it yet. And I actually respect that. Because why would they go out and say, yeah, you're going to have this and that? No, we don't know yet. And we don't know what is the most interesting way to go. And if I was writing the story, if I was directing it, I would do the same.
Mm-hmm,
I would, of course, I would be loyal to everybody, but less loyal to some. Whatever you showed was better.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense.
It's organic. You
might,
have to let
that
it organically
might sacrifice
grow.
My role. But that's fine if it's for the better for the show. I mean, it is in that way.
Was there anything that you got to not? I don't want to say convinced, because Bo seems very open minded in general in terms of your giving you a little bit of leeway of interpretation. But was there anything that you were able to like nudge in that you thought was better, like a better way to do it than maybe something that had been suggested in the beginning?
I think it was like that all the time, but not better, but kind of like you said, I don't know.
Yeah.
So, and I think when it was not at the best, it was when I settled and I didn't kind of speak voice my ideas. When I watched it, I said, oh, fuck, I should have said.
Well, that's great. That's going back to what you told us about Tom Maryland. You said, hey, you want me to be Tom Maryland from the books, I'm not signing up for this. I have to give my interpretation.
Exactly. And it is kind of one of those where you... So Tom Maryland, going back to him, I'm still waiting for the call, and I hope that it comes. And because I know what I'm going to do with him. Now, with this one, it's different, because as you know, in the end, they're not the same.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
So if I signed up for 3 seasons of that bearded fuck, not doing anything, that would be crazy.
It caught us off guard.
Love it, but I'm what I was banging on is whatever your I've listened to some of them, but whatever your ideas are, it's not gonna be the same. It's right. not gonna be And I hope it changes in ways that you couldn't imagine.
Yeah, I'm excited for it.
I'm very excited.
It was definitely a little, granted, I mean, it was 8 episodes, 7.75 of the episodes are, we think we're somewhat on the ship and we're in the ocean. Now we're in space. And it was like, okay, shit, let me just reorient every single thing I thought of. But I feel like, not that we were tricked, but we had pegged you from the beginning of, he's going to be the leader. He's going to, you know, he's like, seems like the head guy of all of the third class passengers. And granted, that probably was a little biased because we know you, so we were rooting for you. But
we're like, that's our boy Kjartan is going to be the leader here.
I remember thinking like, oh gosh, okay, like it's the wife. Like it's, it just honestly, it just completely came out of nowhere. And I want to talk about her a little bit because she is so intense in the show, as that character is very intense. She's so religious and she's so, you know, headstrong, and she is willing to do whatever it takes, essentially. And she cracked me up in the documentary of like, she was making little jokes and she jokes about the riot and she's talking about how she kills Elliot, the little kid. And it was just like, oh my gosh, she just seems so different. That like, what was it like working with her?
Maria, I know, of course, because she's from Denmark and we've known each other for, we haven't worked together. We almost worked together like 20 years ago or something like that. And she has a husband who is a very famous drummer from a big Danish band called DAD, Disneyland After Dark, they were called in the old days. So we're constantly kind of walking in and out of each other's lives. And we are definitely two different actors. But the minute that when they asked me about Maria, I was like, yeah. That's that. She's just got a big fucking heart, and but also crazy as fuck in some ways. But in from an actor's point of view, she throws herself in there. And yeah, it is both the part is crazy and no, she's not, but she is she's a handful, let's say it that way. And I think that also delivered something that we knew each other and we tried so hard to figure out what we were doing because the kids were constantly running away and doing everything. It's like, and Bo just fucking loves everything about them. And then the parents are just sitting there, one with a gun and one without nothing to do. So we're the best of friends there. But I think she's like the best example of a Danish actor. She's just, it's just fun to be around and intense whenever she tries to do anything.
Yeah, I really like the humor that she showed.
If you only saw what she did in the series, you would say, what the fucking crackhead. Yeah. But, fucking love her. Yeah.
That's cool. Well, now I love her too, so thank you.
Benchtown TV loves her. I think when it comes to, we're talking about your family in the show, and we were just talking about Maria. I brought up Claire for a second. We obviously have Lucas as Crestor. We at Benchtown love our theories. We have no idea where it's going, just like you said. So when I'm spitballing this right now, I could be totally wrong, but we're sitting here in this final scene where we're finding out that we're in space and, you know, you're in this machine and Crestor doesn't have his scars and things. You could find out in season two that they're not even your family. I mean, it could be anything. These people could be, there could be no relation. And now you're going to be acting with these same people in a totally different way, which to us is going to be cool, but it has to be awesome for you just because now, like you're talking about, you know, sinking your teeth into some stuff, you know, having something to do. I mean, you're anchor, but when you come out of this machine, out of the simulation, if this is exactly how it's going, you could be, again, totally different person. Now, we know that Mora is kind of similar, but there's things that they're changing about her. Obviously, the son's alive, but he's not. You know, things like that are changed in her mind, and she has no idea that she's in the simulation, and it's going to be the same for you. So the whole backstory, the tragic backstory for Clara and your family, that could all be an illusion, and then you're going to come to terms in the second season, if that's what happens, that, hey, this was all fake. And, you know, for us, it's going to be super exciting to see how you guys interact. But as an actor, what's it like for you to think that maybe that's how you're going to have this relationship with these three or four other people that you acted with them one way in season one, and season two, it's going to be totally different.
So if we're going to go that way, which is your perspective,
Yeah, exactly. I'll take a wink, a left or right wink, if you're or a double middle finger.
That would be a fucking dream.
Yeah.
And to be fair, no, I'm not going to say that. I am banking on it in one way or another. And the reason why I can say that is I don't know. I really don't know.
Right. Yeah.
Otherwise, Netflix would already be standing here. Or the
yep.
Shut the fuck up.
We would quickly leave and save that recording. So don't.
Yeah.
No, but would be a dream. I mean, that you could, because it's not interesting. So you talked a lot about the Westworld,
right?
And the first and second season and all that. And it's just whatever.
Yeah.
It's not interesting if let's take Anger. If Anger just left everything and was a completely new person with new relationships, that wouldn't be interesting.
Right.
But it would be interesting if he had the same fucking problems, the same traumas, whatever is buried within him. But he goes into a new body, a new, I don't know, relationship, new whatever. Mm-hmm, I mean, mm-hmm. he could be the man of, I mean, we have joked about this on set, that the one playing your daughter, the one playing your son or whatever, could be your love interest.
Right.
but it could be. I mean, there are bars in Denmark where this is just normal practice.
Speaking of that, I'm going to take a quick tangent because I saw something very weird about parts of Denmark of people taking tobacco pouches and sticking them up their butt.
That is Sweden. That's not Denmark.
Okay, because I heard that from a Swede, so that's interesting.
That is funny. No, I've never fucking heard about that. So putting the snus up your...
Yes, yes.
I think that might be in your dreams, man.
Okay, yeah. All right, again, moving on.
Going blind.
But that would be I'm banking on it. I'm banging on what they're going to do is... change it up, because as you said, it wouldn't be interesting if it's just another simulation.
Sure.
Yeah. How many times can you do that without, I mean, we would be bored as well. At one point, mm-hmm. I think it's about time that you reach some kind of clarification of what you clarify what's happening.
Right.
It might change out there, but now we need to go into these people. And I love the way that you looked at the whole talks. Who was there? Who wasn't there? Did you count how many pods there was?
I don't know if we counted total pods, but we've listed names and then noticed that there was an additional empty one.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't believe we said how many are in there, but we were trying. I mean, our whole thing throughout the first season was, are some of these characters non-playable characters? We call them NPCs. Like they're just there to be part of the story, but they're not actually going to be in a pod in space as a real person being projected into the simulation. So we're trying to be like, all right, who's here, who's not? And we're thinking about everyone that was getting stuck in, what did we call it, Kyle? When the music was playing and they all just start jumping off the ship. We were like, are those the NPCs being washed out? But then we see, you know, Crestor's in the pod. He's there. And then we were saying, your wife, she's one of the ones who was confusing, because at first she was fine, but then she starts getting pulled away and you guys have to tie her down. And it's you specifically having to interact with her to say, stay here. Because, you know, again, that's another, you know, really cool thing about the acting for you in the show, is that you have to have this love for someone that you don't believe in what she loves.
But you
love her no matter what, and you're trying to save her from a million different things throughout the show.
Yeah.
One point she's trying to jump off the ship. At the other point, she just says, you know what? My kids are gone. I'm gone. I'm done. I'm ready to die. God wants me to die. I'll die. And you're trying to save her, but then you're like, I guess I'm going to stick with her because I love her. I mean, that you were saying that, you know, there wasn't much. I don't want to quote you, but you're saying there's not much for Anchor at this point. But there was a lot of powerful moments for Anchor in season one. That we that's our boy.
You have to remember that when I'm saying that, I mean, because everybody has
where they're kind of going to their different little dream worlds. Yeah, you're essentially
just kind of just moving down the aisles, yeah. And everybody else, Anger was constantly left behind. So yeah.
Right.
He didn't have his own kind of. No, I'm very thankful for you. I'm not fishing for it, but no, I know that I didn't do one fucking scene that was only with Jose, where the other priest, where that was kind of a smile. Otherwise, it was just constantly tears, or just intense and all
right,
that.
Right.
But I kind of love that. I kind of love that. I just wanted to. I think it's the love of the character. I just wanted to give something else, something more, whatever.
Yeah, but, you have high hopes for him. You have high expectations.
Yeah. But I still have, because I don't know why you would put 16 or whatever people in the main cast without using them.
Yeah,
right. If you're in a pod in space and it's not another simulation, you're not going to be a Danish old school priest from 1899. You're obviously going to have some difference about you for season two that we're excited to see.
And they took out the beard, man, and that was... Yeah.
Well, there you go. Let's ask this question, because I actually sounded a little stupid to Kyle before you jumped on, because I was going to say I wanted to ask you if that beard was your beard, and then
it ended up being my beard.
Okay. That's, okay.
No. But it was. It started out with, because I was doing another show, that we could only do like a semi kind of thing, and then they hair and makeup on this show is just mind blowing. And so quick. So shout out to them. If you ever see this show, wow. So they started out gluing it underneath, and then my beard grew. Mm-hmm. In the end, I looked at.
Well, that's a great beard.
I have a photo of me being at a wedding, in a nice fucking suit and everything. And I saw the pictures afterwards. So I had this beard down here and these Ray-Bans. And I actually looked fucking good, but I looked like a different weird.
You should have wore Anchor's hat too.
Almost, yeah. But it ended up with that. And then when we went to the last scene we did, so that was weird. We went to UK to do the last scene.
Right.
But we had to do some group photos, like we looked, and they already released, so I had no beard. It was just taken totally off. So now they had to build it from nothing.
Oh my god. Oh, man.
It was with just stops like that. It was just
for a picture. Yeah.
Now, sometimes I forget that an actor, when he or she goes, I don't just want to change this because it's And then 3 days later, they have to build everything.
Right.
It looked uncomfortable.
Yeah, it ended up with my own beard. So I was looking at that when I walked around here. When I took it off, my kids came in and they went, oh! And my old one said, it's like having a slightly older brother. And it took him like 3 weeks.
Wow.
It just went, ugh. Yeah,
maybe one day for me, I can scare people by shaving.
Doesn't work out for me. I can't grow it.
We're not there yet.
what do you want second season to be about?
Oh, that's such a good question.
Short.
short version.
I guess I'm hoping for, like you said, nothing religious. But a second season, I want to know more about. And again, it's tough because we. Always, and I'm assuming it sounds like you listened to our finale episode, where it's for us when we talk about it, we start saying things, and it's like, well, I mean, is that even real? So it's kind of, it feels weird trying to forecast things that might happen. But I want to know more about like what they're leaving behind, essentially.
Yes, we're trying to figure out why they're in space.
Yeah, that
if
feels
they're
like
actually
a big,
in space.
That feels like a big season two information that's gonna. Something that we need to know. Like you said, it's going to be boring if we just keep jumping simulations.
Yeah.
So there's only we need to know what they left behind.
Right. There's only so many times they can say we're in a simulation, and then you're watching an entire season and then find out nothing was real again when you're trying to theorize things. So we definitely want it to be real now, but there's pros and cons to so many. And that was what we brought up with the Westworld thing, where Westworld season one and two, where they're in the parks, there's that mystery. Hell yeah. and they get out of the parks, it starts going down a little bit. But hey, we said it a million times too. We trust the writer. We trust Yanchey and Bo. So we know whatever they decide or whatever they have already decided is going to be phenomenal. But yeah, we were saying, you know, there is that fear that leaving the simulation and leaving the mystery of it, is it going to be, you know, dark? But dark was so layered where you think you figured it out and then boom, 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 every season it layered onto each other. So we're assuming it's going to be like that too. So I guess if we're going to take it face value, we have our main characters in this pod in the station. We have an empty pod that we want to figure out who it is. We want to figure out why the brother took over. I guess one of our biggest questions here is what's going on with her dad, because you know, he seemed to be able to control parts of the simulation, but was also locked in. And we don't see him in any of the pods, but we do see that the station pans out and there's more room for other pods. And we also have her husband and Elliot where, you know, they're breaking in, it seems like. So are they in a pod breaking in? Are they actually physical running around the space station? There's so much to it. And that's why this was one of the most fun and also frustrating shows the podcast on. And we said we expected it and we knew it was going to happen that way, because we've joked a million times that Dark is like the golden goose for us. Like, we've always wanted to podcast on Dark, but we just can't do it unless we know each individual episode gets its own podcast episode. And 1899 we knew was going to be very, very similar, and it just has to be because there's just so much you need to talk about. And that's the beauty of having these types of shows. And that's our favorite types of shows to podcast about.
I think to just shooting bullets out there. Like, I would think it would be cool if Mara has to go back into the simulation to wake everyone else up. Let's just say if she can't manually do it from the outside, that seems like it would be very jarring to just get for them to get woken up. So it would be cool for her to go back in and be like the Daniel. So she wears like the big long coat and she's the mysterious person that like walks around and does that. I think that would be a cool little
switch.
She's
the next change.
I haven't thought about that, that you could go back and change characters within, but still be on the ship.
Yeah. They did that a little bit in Dark too, of like people were different in the different worlds in season 3. Yeah. And then they were different when the ending happened. So that was, they did do that before. Yeah. And I'm sure it would be fun for you guys, like we said, if you wanted to just completely flip some type of scripts on things, and maybe now your wife is the one that doesn't believe and she's the passive one while you're the one that's running around trying to kill this small child.
Yeah. I mean, one of the coolest parts in the finale was, you know, having certain characters and only a few of them know what's starting to happen, know what's going on, and the others being like, dude, it's 1899. I don't know what the hell you're talking about. Like, we're on this ship and it's, you know, sinking or whatever. We need to get off this. And, you know, having Mora go back in and having to figure out a way, you know, say she's talking to Anchor and you're like, I'm this fake priest from 1899. Don't tell me anything else. And she's like, hey, you're sitting in a pod right now with a nice shaven beard and you're ready to be a badass in season 2 later if you can wake up. But right now you're stuck being a priest, man.
Yeah. She tries to bring everyone to the water, but do they drink it?
It's also from a director and a writer's and a producer's point of view, it's kind of the perfect setup. I mean, it is kind of so now you have a totally new cast, you see what they're capable of doing, and then you can kind of bang on the ones you want to win.
Yeah.
It'll also be the cheapest option because looking at the documentary and how much went into building those sets, like if they never use those sets again, that would, I mean, I'm sure they're more than willing to do it. And they obviously have a vision and this show has been fairly successful. So I don't think that that's what they'll choose, but just thinking about it from that direction, it seems cheaper to be like, okay, let's get back to the boat. Like, we already built this huge interior.
I'm going to, but you can post this again in a couple of years. Not going back to the boat.
Yeah.
Fucking not. We're going back.
Yeah.
No boat. No. Yeah.
You don't want to be in the rain and getting wet.
You don't
want to
be getting stormed on 24/7.
I love everything about it, but it's just, I think I'm fixated on the thing that it could be something totally different. Yeah. And that it could also change in the genre as well. They could start second season up for real on that fucking spaceship.
Right, yeah. Right.
That's what I'm hoping for.
With every little secret unknown. They could do that. And I think just because that I'm saying it, that it could be the most interesting part, it's not going to be. She already knows. And it's
We talked about that too on our
episode. I don't want to go back to the boat. No more.
Okay. Yeah. That's
what we're in the boat.
Luke
and the wife and the fucking kids and the
you want to come out of that pod just a bachelor, jacked, good with weapons,
yeah,
just a funny guy,
Terminator man, right?
Dripping charisma. There's no way that we could guess it that easy.
No,
you know.
And when I listen to people around me, and I think it's the same with you guys, which actually makes me kind of proud, is. Even though you don't tap into it, even though you think Summit is underwhelming or whatever, underproducing or whatever, it's still one of those shows that you have to see. It's still that good. It's still when it's disappointing in some ways, it's still an eight.
The biggest problem, and we said it a million times, is Dark is top one, two, or three for all of us combined. Kyle, it's one. Me, it's probably one or two. Like, all of us have it in the top five. So having something that has to compare to Dark, if we say anything in a certain way that seems bad, well, really, it's still, like you said, 8, 9, 10.
I get it. And that's as well. My favorites as well. Did you have Dark as a favorite after season one? Did you have that?
Not that high. It wasn't that high.
You need the story.
But no, that's a great point. That's an absolute point.
Yeah, you need the entire story.
So I actually had it with Dark because I went into a slope in the end of the second season, start of the third. I was like, fuck, come on, guys. Enough with that. And then I persevered and I stayed until the end and just went.
Yep.
Yeah,
there were goosebumps, and it all made sense. Yeah. And it just made me so fun. I was sitting like a little kid on Christmas, going.
Exactly. That's how we were too.
I have a picture.
I'm just asking you, because it's interesting. If you had it as the best fucking show after season one,
no.
And we do like to say that about many, many shows. We can't give it that. With only one season, you have to prove. I mean, we said it even about you. We were bringing up Westworld a million times in this and in the other podcast. Westworld season one, one of the best seasons of television we've ever seen. And then all of a sudden, here you go, not even going to be able to get finished. You know, HBO cancels it. You go from the highest of the highest to the lowest of lows with cancellation. So you can't just say Westworld's the best show of all time off of season one. That's why we're saying when it comes to going through everything with 1899 and we're trying to guess things or we're trying to say this is what we like or didn't like, we're like, hey, we loved Dark, so we trust what they're going to do. And I think one of the things that even I was saying was, I don't know how interested right now I am with it being going from a simulation to like post-apocalyptic. We're in space. Are they in space because Earth is destroyed or this or that? And it's a total tone shift. Am I interested in that? Of course I am, because it's them writing it. But would that have been my first choice based on season one? Who knows? But we could see season two, and that is where it goes. And then I go, oh my gosh, you got it. It's the best thing ever. You know, you have to see what they do, and you have to trust the process.
And your exact description of Dark is perfect. I feel like that's how everyone, I mean, Kathleen, who is one of the members of Binge Town that we do the podcast with, she just finished, that might have been, what, 3 or 4 days ago? And she did
recently,
the same thing where she was like beginning of season three and she was like, I don't know about this. I don't know how much I'm liking what they're doing. And then the ending, she was like, oh my gosh. Like she sent us her ranking of shows. It's like number two. And she was crying. Yeah. And I was like, yeah.
Exactly. And you have to remember, sometimes you leave shows. And I've always said this, when you go to the theater and see something, just watch it to the end. Then you're allowed to say it was a shit thing.
Yeah.
But watch the whole thing. Otherwise, shut the fuck up.
Right.
And it was kind of one of those moments, because I was struggling at that point. And then when I got to the end, it was like, okay, some of the boredom as well was even helpful for me to get an even bigger.
Yeah.
They know what they're fucking doing. They know what they're doing.
They
know
what they're doing.
And I think it's the same here. So I'm just saying, I think they did a good job.
I
think they did a good job with that many characters and that many twists.
So many moving parts.
I agree with some of what you guys said, that I need to figure out more about the side characters, so the main cast, but the side characters as well. Mm-hmm. There are things that they need to address.
And that's where we're just hoping, you know, when it comes to Netflix, they're cutting shows left and right. And we were just talking about how, you know, we're talking about Mike Flanagan, Midnight Club. We just covered that on the podcast as well. And Mike Flanagan's one of our favorites, and his shows are as well. And we said it's a damn shame that he's not going to get a season two. Now, 1899 did great, so that we can't imagine that would happen, but that would hurt so bad to have a show like that and then be like, oh, it's canceled. Which, even if it's season two, say it's a 5-season show like the OA was supposed to be. Anytime, if we don't get the, oh, okay, 3. All right, there you go. We'll take it. So
I love that. I love that so much.
That's such a trilogy, perfect 3 length. Seasons. Yeah.
Yeah. It's so easy, I feel like, now for shows. I mean, maybe not easy for them to last that long, but you get into 6, 7, 8, and it's sometimes you forget what you were doing in the first place, it seems like, on a lot of shows. So three to four seasons is perfect.
There's a new tendency, which is also that creative people actually are getting power, because we've been in this slope with the fucking just the same shit over and over again. Mm-hmm. And then you have like this power couple who gets into both the stories and the money. Mm-hmm. And the trust from people who have the money, and they have they don't give a shit attitude. I think I think that's going to be the new black. There's something brewing. It's also in Denmark, but I fuck this, because it's not just about, maybe it'll find an audience in India and in Greenland. No, because it's a shit show. We need to figure out how to do a lot of content, but it still has to be fucking good.
Yeah.
Because you know as well as I do, there's a lot of shit out there.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
It's just about producing, just doing, just new. And then you got this couple with Bo and Yanshi, and they really don't give a fuck. I think they would do it on their own if nobody would bang.
That would be awesome. Hey, just give us that ending. Let us know.
They would figure it out. They would figure out how to do it in their own fucking studio.
Yeah, I mean, could they rent that Vision volume machine? I wonder how much that thing costs for a month.
They would do that. They would do that with like free LG screens from
smart TVs from Target.
They write the stories. They would fucking figure out how to do the same story, not on a boat, but in a fucking trailer. They would figure it out. And that's what I mean, power to those people. That's that kind of intelligence to figure it out. It's not about 200 millions. It's about the fucking idea. Right. And if you get 200 million, of course you would do the whole fucking filming like it was 200 million.
Yeah.
If they're on like €100,000, they would do it that way.
You can tell too with a lot of shows. Like, it's almost like a feeling you get when you watch. Like 1899, I turned it on and I don't really remember a ton of. I had watched Severance right before it. That was another show where it just felt like this is quality. Like, people put everything that they had into this. They care about every little detail. Like, this just feels at like a higher level than something I could just turn on some random streaming network.
Yeah.
And 1899, first episode, immediately was like, okay, baby, we're back. Like, this is great. Yeah. Like, it's just, you feel it. I don't know what it is about it. There's just, I couldn't ever describe what it feels like, but it just, I feel it.
Yeah, and the little fuckers also turn into the fucking whole music, like Ben Frost, the whole fucking sound, and then the popular songs in the end is just, oh, you're fucking tapping into my...
I loved it. Yeah,
I mean, I remember reading in the eighth episode that David Bowie was on for the last song. I'm so used to reading that. It's like always, and then we get Nirvana. It was like, but you're not ever going to get that because it costs too much, so fuck off.
Yeah.
And they did every fucking song that they said they wanted to do.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's so good.
The whole sound of the,
Yeah, my favorite was definitely All Along the Watchtower. That was when that record dropped, and I was like, oh my God.
That is also crazy, because you must know that this is going to split the audience.
Yeah. I mean,
that's going to be a shitload of people going.
Yeah, there were. Mm-hmm. There definitely mm-hmm. were.
Right.
I was one of those just like, I think this is ballsy. I think it's on point. And it's kind of tapping in also to something that just, yeah, I know you're just doing this to me. Yeah, come on. Yeah. I know. I'm not stupid, but I allow it. It's cool, yeah. Man.
I was looking up like the release dates of the songs and being like, is there a pattern in the release dates? Like, that's how far they had me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Because people that, and again, I don't want to sound like we're on this high pedestal because we've watched Dark, but it's what it felt like of like every detail is thought of, like they are, it's purposeful why they chose these things. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I was like at the beginning, because we were like, what time is it really? Like, if it's not this, if it's not 1899, then when is it really? And we were thinking like, okay, the technology's like maybe like 1970s ish. And then I'm looking up these songs and they come out in 68 and 71 and 72. Yeah, and I was like, that's the clue. Like, it's definitely 1970s and obviously 2099.
I've really looked into 1899, the whole year, everything that fucking happened. But that was after we fall.
Yeah, that's good.
Trying to figure out what is the main reason for Janče to go that way. Of course, I don't know if you heard, but she told the story of that. But what do you think about the Beagle? What is that? What is the Beagle?
I was so wrong.
I have listened to a lot of your podcasts, but I have a job.
Yeah, of course. You're all right.
Hey, we have a lot of content, so yeah, we have a lot to talk about when it comes to 1899.
And actually, I was almost going to write you saying, no, give me another week because I need to listen to everything. But
then you have no idea how awesome
that is. It's Christmas, and it's. But yeah. What is the Beatles, man? What the fuck is up with that?
I was so fucking wrong because I thought it was like localized time travel.
Yeah.
You know, okay. That like, I thought it had like experienced, I guess it was in a sense, right. In that like it had experienced the loops. So it knew like when to hide around the corner and when they should go this way and things like mm-hmm. that.
That is very clever. That is good thinking.
Elliot and Daniel have been through the loops before. So it was kind of like that, but it doesn't seem like they controlled the Beatle at all either. So I was so dead set on that theory that it wasn't true, and it just fried my brain afterwards. So I got nothing.
I think we came to some kind of conclusion for now that with the simulation, it's Daniel and Elliot's way of, it's like a symbolism for putting a bug in the system, or not necessarily a virus, but like literally a bug in the system where, you know, they're glitching the virus, glitching the simulation as the back door to do some things. And again, is it that easy? We just want to go with that for now. And to your point, when you're saying you have a job, I mean, we had to talk about so much because we had so many guesses, so many theories. And then the next episode, we're like, oh, throw that shit out of here. Here's our new ones, you know? So we had a theory in episode one that we were just like, we were like talking about it so much. And then we're like, why are we even talking about it? Because there's no way we're guessing it in episode one. So we just love it so much. It's so interesting to talk about that we just have to do it.
I remember thinking like, okay, Crestor is going to be a huge character. Like the next decision he makes, like what side he ends up being on, like in the mutiny, like it's going to be a power shift. Like he'll do something. And it'll be like a huge pivotal moment. And then he just jumped off the boat the next episode.
And we were like,
I was
what?
Like, motherfucker. I was like, you just make me look like an idiot.
Yep.
I just love that because some of the questions that I'm asking, I really don't know. I'm not sitting here being a fucking jerk off going, what do you think? Because I know it. No, I don't know. It's just interesting for somebody who actually has paid attention, not like your family who's just seen it and gone, No, but somebody who actually fucking tried to figure it out. And
that's the other thing we always have to say as a preface on our podcast. There's two different kinds of viewers. There's us who's dissecting every single little thing. And then there's the casual viewer that is just getting got by every single twist where we say, oh, well, we guessed it. Oh, we're cool. We guessed it. When someone else is like, oh my God, that's the craziest thing ever. And I always
there's
joke
pros and it's cons
my
to both.
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely, I joke my dad. He just like, he watched it so casually and it could be the worst ending ever. You know, everyone would say it's the worst ending. Like, let's just talk about how, like, for example, Game of Thrones, a lot of people don't like the end, right? my dad watched the show. He goes, can't believe they did Daenerys like that. And then he moved on, you know, and like, but we're like sitting here like in pain and we're still talking about it years later.
That's the pro of it.
Yes, yes.
For but us, I mean, the pro is that it's just so fun to talk about it at that level, at this level, essentially. It's just, but it makes me enjoy it more.
If it's not interesting, you wouldn't be talking about it.
So, for sure.
It all comes down to that. You want to make theories about shit that is, It's like these shows that has Finding Bigfoot. I don't find that interesting.
There's no Finding Bigfoot.
I mean, it's just you. You're a weird fuck walking around with your friends. I mean, that's one episode.
Yeah.
But if it has the imagination of something bigger, something that just goes, sprinkle some magic into your fucking head. It goes, okay, maybe it's.
Yeah.
And I think this show kind of does that.
And it's 100%.
The whole cast the crew from behind the whole has just done marvelous things with these tricks of actors. So, for sure. Really, really, really cool. Yeah.
Yeah. The one greedy change I would make would be weekly releases, but I'm a weekly release kind of person.
So I'm gonna tell you this, and Bo might be killing me. He might be.
He doesn't watch the program.
It's okay. Okay.
Hey.
So Bo is not gonna kill me.
Hey, bring him on. Bring him on. We'll talk to him.
Yeah, come into frame, Bo. Come into frame. Oh, that's so good.
He's going to talk to Bo.
Yeah. For everyone that's listening only, he is outside arguing with Bo.
No, he's going to stay on the balcony.
Ah, okay.
Bo wanted it to be one episode release as well.
Yeah,
I love
that. I think everybody wanted that as well. That's a Netflix thing.
Yes.
I understand as well, but I don't. I think we could go back to the whole fucking, or maybe two episodes.
Yeah, that would be perfect too.
That we could go to school, we could go to work, we could go something to talk about.
Exactly.
Somebody who just has the fucking time to binge watch everything.
Yeah, it's not fair.
Freaking Binge Town TV, man, there's losers.
No. I do the same, but I mean, maybe I have 24 hours off, but that it would be way more fun to go to work and say, oh, did you see the episode of Red Fuck? And it was.
You couldn't have just used 1899.
That's a good show name. Let's use that.
Not the show we're talking about.
It's only two episodes. Trust me. There's only two episodes of Red Fuck.
That's as far as it got.
No, but I think you're so right. It should have been, yeah. But hey, I'm not just the one with 600 fucking billion.
Yeah. You know, obviously, selfishly, you know, I would love to binge it, and I like that I can. As a podcaster, we would love it to be week to week so we can talk about it, digest it, have everyone listen, have a little anticipation. And as a viewer, there's definitely both sides of the story. Like, there's so many shows that benefit, and I guess they all would, but 1899 is 100% one of those shows that would benefit from having that week to talk to your friends, talk to your family, to digest it.
They definitely won that. It was a...
Yeah.
Right.
I think the proof in the pudding, too, is...
I'm just telling what you said.
Is like, think about House of the Dragon and how every week House of the Dragon for 8 weeks, 10 weeks, I don't even remember how many episodes there were. I think it just dominated everything.
Yes.
It was an episode comes out on Sunday, everyone talks about it Monday through Saturday, and then an episode comes out on Sunday. And 1899, I feel like, is built for exactly that type of conversation.
It was not built for just going.
Yeah.
Right.
Even though you wanted to, it was not built for that. And you needed to just breathe for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
When we went to Berlin for the premiere, it was like two episodes for the premiere night. And that was fucking beautiful. And big theater, and it was the most beautiful night, whatever. Next, we met the main cast and Bo and Yanshe. and in a small theater, and we watched the rest of it, six episodes.
Really? Wow.
I thought that was a bit challenging.
Yeah.
Even though I read it and knew everything, but it was, and I don't think that's the good way of watching it. It needed something. We needed those pauses of.
Yes. Yeah. That was the beauty of us podcasting on it, because the podcast forced us not to binge.
You had that pause in between it.
We did every two episodes. And then we had the finale by itself. So we had to make sure we had the pause and we digested so we knew what was coming next.
Okay, good. But, so you almost had it. Yeah. We went for a smoke and that was it.
Yeah, that's intense. That's intense.
That's very intense.
All right. So I guess one thing I want to ask is it's obviously late for you. So we can certainly wrap things up if you'd like to wrap things up.
Hey, I'm enjoying myself. It's fine. Yeah. I have to be up at 7. So it's 6 hours. That's fine.
Okay. Well, Jimmy, do you have any pressing questions that you don't think that we got to?
No, I think the only thing that we can quickly talk about, again, we really appreciate your time. And again, we know it's really, really late for you. I don't think we can leave this conversation without bringing up the volume technology, at least for a second. Everybody listening or watching, go check out the 1899 documentary on Netflix. That will give you all your answers and it will amaze you how crazy, how advanced it is. It is ridiculous. It was such a joy to watch the documentary, but I want to bring it up because we talked about this a year ago almost when we were talking about The Last Kingdom in Wheel of Time. You brought up 1899 to us and you said that's your next project, and you said there's this new type of filmmaking, get ready, it's going to be amazing, and you kind of gave us an explanation, but you obviously weren't going to be able to give us everything. So now that we know it and we talked to you about it a year ago, what was it like for you to act in this? I mean, we saw in this documentary, just talking about really quick, the riot scene where jokingly, you know, Maria is sitting there saying, I'm sick of killing the little boy over and over, and she's in her robe. But we have rain coming down. You're on the set. You have all these people fighting each other. You have the ridiculous storm background, nighttime background with the technology. So many moving pieces. You find out that they do everything in 3D first as almost like their own simulation to make sure it's going to look right. So what is it like for you to act in that kind of scenario?
So that is actually not one of those scenes where it kind of where you feel it because of the rain and the darkness and everything. And the ship is built, the front of it is built.
Right.
So that just felt like a set.
Okay.
But when you have daytime shots, when you see the waves, when you're looking out the side of the ship where they take the rowboats out to go to the other ship or whatever, when you're standing in front of it, those are the moments, because you're standing there and your point of view is normally it's like this, and that is filled with LED, so it's like I can't remember how high it is, to the 11 meters or whatever. Six, whatever. I'm an actor.
Yeah, and we don't do meters, so you're just saying words.
Right. Feet. Yeah, 6,000 feet.
That's what I thought it was.
That's exactly what I thought.
So everything in your point of view is just filled out with ocean. And that is what you're looking at. So you build the ship in a way that it's just the front of it, and everything is on point. Everything looks. It looks. Like it's rusted and it's just like old and it's just fucking beautiful. And then you have the waves. When the cameras are shooting at you, they see me looking at the camera, of course, the front of it, and they see the waves and everything is moving.
Okay, that's true.
So when you look at the monitor, it's just perfect. It's just perfect.
Yeah.
If the camera turns, remember I'm standing in the front of the ship. Now you see the rest of the ship. So in the monitor, the rest of the ship is built on top of the little set that you're standing on. Fucking mind blowing.
Yeah. Oh my god.
I mean, it of course it's not 100%, but it's not like 60. It's like
93%. Oh yeah. It's ridiculous. And going into
scenes. But I'm not even what you're seeing. I mean
saying from you, right?
There,
right.
If I go to the monitor and look at one of my friends standing there, it looks like he or she is fucking ship.
That's so cool.
Blown ship.
Some of the actors in the documentary were saying they were getting seasick.
Yeah,
and they were standing still just because it just was so real. I mean, this set rotated 360 degrees.
Yeah. It was so cool. It was one of the coolest things I've ever seen in my life, if I'm honest.
Yeah.
And I was so blown away.
It raises the bar because it's just, so one of the biggest shitty things about being an actor is miming. I'm shit at miming. So when I went to the National Theatre School and that week when they were teaching miming, I was sick. I don't get it. I hate the whole trying to just give me something to react on. So
right.
Like, so you're opening a car door. No, just give me a fucking
Yeah.
I don't have to use my energy to mime that I'm doing this. And that is the difference between a green screen and the volume. So your brain is freed to fucking act instead of imagining spaceships and shit, like whatever you're seeing it. So you're just there.
The quote that I wrote down from it is Jan, who plays Jerome, says the exact words he says in the documentary are, you don't have to have a part of your brain focusing on projecting or imagining anything. You're just like, you're just responding to actually what they want you to. You're just receiving the information.
It's so much easier. It's
yeah, that's so cool.
It just frees everything up to. Of course, it's so new, so everybody has to understand that this is what we get. But it is, I think, a couple of years from now, it's just going to be so. It's just going to be the
norm. Yeah,
it's going to be so much better because we are not just miming shit.
Yeah,
trying to react on something that they might change out afterwards as well. So you might be standing on a set where they say, "Oh, there's like." Bees going like this, and you're reacting like this. And then they change it to just one bee, and it just looks like shit because you're going.
Yeah.
It's a bad example, but you know what you're.
I know exactly what you mean.
It's just mind blowing. It is really, really, really cool. And the technique, you can actually, you can also scale it down. So you could actually do it on a parking lot. And just take a small part of an LED screen and put it there. And then that car will blow up.
Wow.
Yeah.
You get one. So as an actor that I used to seeing, maybe we can't blow it up because it's in the middle of the city. So what you're watching is something that we're going to put in later. It's there. You can see it. Of course, you can't hear it, but you can see it. So it's just, it's so much easier.
Yeah.
So you go out there and you go, oh, fuck. You don't have to go 1, 2, 3. Oh, fuck.
Yeah. So it's so easy.
You can change big buildings. It's just going to go.
Yeah. Maybe I can become an actor.
Yeah. Now all of a sudden that Kyle's.
It's so easy.
Actor.
Yeah. I mean, they're just give me the lines. I got it. I know where I am now.
What I'm used to hearing is that everybody's saying, everybody's a bit of an actor, aren't they?
I guess.
The only fucking thing in the world that is not protected. You wouldn't go around saying that about a plumber or... A,
yeah,
I don't know,
everyone's builder. A little bit of an actor.
Everybody's a bit of a plumber. No.
Not at your level,
actor,
but...
Apparently. Yeah. Everybody can do it.
We could talk about TV and film, but... That's all. That's as far as we'll go.
All right,
Kyle. Anything else?
I have, I guess, kind of rapid fire, quick question. So, okay. What's your favorite TV show or movie that you saw this year? That not 1899. You can't say that.
Oh, wow, it has to be a new one.
Just something that you watched this.
Something
year
you watched
really
for the
liked.
First time this year. Yeah, it doesn't have to be.
I actually saw the Pet Sematary. The next one, the second one. What was that?
Oh, okay.
I'm
not a horror movie guy.
Is that called?
They had a remake of it recently, I think. Yeah, that one. I haven't seen that.
Like almost the second one.
Okay. It's kind of. I guess it's kind of like Halloween, where they're going into the second one.
Actually, I didn't know that I was going to watch something quite.
Well, that's cool.
Very
right.
cool.
Yeah. So I'm not a horror movie guy. So
yeah.
Are you?
I'm
You're
not. I'm not. Jimmy is.
My girlfriend, everything she fucking puts on is that.
Really?
Oh, really?
Well, you were just... like, we just see something like trains, planes, and automobiles. Just
a palate cleanser, if you
want.
Just
one thing with a laugh, because everything is just.
Yeah,
you were just in a horror film, right?
Kind That's of. That's true, but it was Dutch.
Yeah, I read a little bit about it.
Yeah, the Moloch.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It seemed like a crazy experience how they kind of came at you last minute almost because someone else got sick or something. And then they had to change the character and a bunch of things happened. Yeah, it seems like it was a pretty wild experience.
It was COVID and it was, I was there for the lockdown and Amsterdam had a curfew. Damn. And I was, why am I here? I went straight into 1899. And it was still a lockdown in Berlin.
Damn.
But that, I have to say, when I say, why am I here? That's all I asked for a year. So that's why I was there. I really wanted to work and I missed the set and everything. I forgot. Fuck. I was in Amsterdam.
I won't be watching it, but I heard good things about it. So.
Cool. It's cool, but it's a new upcoming Dutch director. Everybody wanted those roles for that. It was. I think he missed a point or two, but it was cool. But it was COVID, man. It was so fucking.
Yeah. Yes.
I mean, we couldn't even do this without people saying you're not allowed to. It was like
I'm sure it was tough. So maybe moving on to more positive in the future things. This will be the last one, and I'm not sure. If this is something that you do, I don't really do it either. But do you have a New Year's resolution? Is there something you're looking to to change? No. All right,
I really don't.
You're perfect.
That's really a boring answer, but I really don't because I believe that whenever you need to change, you fucking do it tomorrow.
I agree with that. Yeah.
And the next thing is there's never a right time.
All right, that was a good answer.
So if you do have a resolution for this.
Do it now. Yeah, exactly.
I might have, but okay, I'll start tomorrow.
Wash your hands.
All right. All right. So, last thing.
That is actually the short answer. No, there's no better day than tomorrow.
So all right.
Just do that. Yeah.
Last thing, give us all the information you have on 1899 season 2 and Wheel of Time, when your return is going to be, if you're going to return. Give us every single thing that you can. Let's get to Binchtown, every single spoiler. Don't get in trouble.
And he finishes his drink and shakes his head.
Yeah. He says, good night.
I'm going to write it here.
Well, Alexander, we talked about three of your shows, Last Kingdom, Kiartan, Wheel of Time, Tom Marilyn, 1899, Anchor. You've killed it in every single one. We really appreciate talking to you. Again, it's 12:30 your time, so we really appreciate that. We have a blast every time. And hey, if we get into season 2, 1899, if we see a return of Tom Marilyn, we'll be DMing you again on Instagram because we love talking to you.
That better fucking be a return of Tom Marilyn. Otherwise, I will hunt them down and I will fucking kill them.
I'll join you in it, so don't worry. You won't ride alone.
God, it's a pleasure, right, man. Everybody, thank you for following. And
happy early birthday.
Happy early birthday and feel better.
All right. Have a nice night.
Take care and thank you, man.
Thank you very
much. Enjoy the holidays, too.
Yes, enjoy the holidays.
You too.
Yeah, stay safe. Stay healthy.
Stay safe. And I'll see you on the other side.
Yes, you will. Yes, you will.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.